The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let me ask you something. What's the most you ever lost in a coin toss?
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything. Just call it Friendo.
Willen, what's in the satchel?
It's full of money.
He's just a guy who happened to find that money.
I got a bad feeling, Llewellyn.
Well, it's a mess, ain't it, Sheriff?
If it ain't, it'll do till the mess gets here.
The crime you see now, it's hard to even take its measure.
It's just all out war.
You can't stop what's coming.
What's this guy supposed to be, the ultimate badass?
You don't understand.
And welcome to Fan Critical. We are back today with another commissioned podcast.
Mm.
Woo! That voice that you hear over there is John.
Yeah, I mean, my voice was the hum rather than the woo.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I'm Emma. I'll be hosting this today. So we are doing a commissioned podcast from one of our elite blueberries,
yep.
Beth Panico. And she has asked us to watch and review what I've written down as Nook Fom.
Okay,
or,
yeah.
As it might be more well known, No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah, that's good, that.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch that, do I?
Yeah, can you... Have you not already?
I'd just wing it. It's
fucking
fine.
Hell. Again, yeah. Useless. No preparation.
It's good. Really good it was.
Really good and great.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, IMDb describes this film as violence and mayhem ensue after a hunter stumbles upon a drug deal gone wrong and more than $2 million in cash near the Rio Grande.
Yeah.
Or the Rio Grande.
Yeah, Grande, I think, is probably...
Rio Grande.
Yeah, like Starbucks.
Yep. I think I've got a Culture Club song in my head now.
Culture Club?
Fucking yeah.
Jesus.
Been listening
I've not
to
heard
Magic.
Them in a while. Fucking hell.
I have. It's the only radio station I listen to. It's Magic Radio. Basically built for, like, 50-year-old housewives.
Yeah.
Like me.
Yeah.
So...
That's all right. Nothing wrong with them.
I actually... So, Coen Brothers film, right? And 2007...
I don't know. I'm trusting you to
that's
get that
what,
correct.
That's what it says in my notes, 2007.
All right, well, there yep. you go. Trust the notes.
It's got a great cast.
Yeah.
And an interesting plot. We're not going to talk about the plot. So what we're going to do today is we're just going to have a chat.
We'll touch on the plot a little bit, surely.
Just touch it a little bit, but nothing inappropriate. Or too in-depth.
Yeah, it's yeah. good.
What's nice about this podcast is John and I are in the same room together.
Mm. Yeah.
A metre
Why
apart.
Are you saying that after the touching stuff?
Well, it's not irrelevant. It's not relevant to the touching.
No, you just said it's not... What?
It's not relevant to the touching.
Yeah, suddenly
We're
it's
a metre
trial.
Apart, obviously, social distancing.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
Get off me.
That's not me. Yeah. It's the cat touching you up under the table.
Can we just get on with this, please?
So, which is exciting, because we haven't done a podcast together in the same room for like 6 months.
Yeah, and we could, I mean, probably not. Class, this is a podcast at this point. It's just
no.
it's rambling.
Rambling, rambling.
Fine.
And even more exciting, we've got beers.
Mm, yeah. Do we shout them out?
Yeah, go on then.
So, 4 Pure Brewing Company, Easy Peeler. And easy choice for an easy listen.
And I am drinking a Cerveza Mediterránea, Estrella Damm.
Yeah.
I like a bit of Estrella.
It's a big brewery though, isn't it? I'm not a fan of that.
Prefer
to support the small,
you like
small
the niche.
Guys, the 4 Pure guys. So good on yous.
A little bit more indie, which is circling back, maybe what we might describe the Coen Brothers style as.
Ooh.
So after all that rambling, we're going to go through our kind of overview of the film, when we first watched it, what we think, our blueberries, of course. I want to talk a bit about the cast because they're really cool, and our favourite bits of the film.
Yep.
But before that, I'm just going to have a very quick moment to tell you a bit about the other stuff that we're doing here at Fan Critical.
Ooh.
All right, let's go ahead and record this ad.
But we don't have much time, so let's be sure to hit all the high points.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, we need to talk about how our celebrity impersonations are on point.
Gotta thank you for introducing me to the pod.
Deborah, I haven't been getting enough sleep.
They were maggots. The size of a tangerine.
That's good. And how we're so understanding of each other. You know, always willing to listen and learn from each other.
This is my least favorite movie I have ever watched.
I swear if you buy this poster.
I buy the poster. I really do.
And I think people come for the movie discussion, but they really stay for the hard-hitting and important conversations.
Do we call shoes butt bottoms now?
Well, if the butt cheek goes all the way down, does it go all the way up too?
Yeah, it just wraps around.
Okay, sounds like we've got our ad. Let's go ahead and record.
I kind of think we just did.
We're two chunks and a hunk.
Movie musings for mostly everybody.
New episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
You may have been listening to some of our lockdown content, such as How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That? Where we delve into our closets of shame to tell you about the films that we've pretended to see for years, but we actually never have.
Yeah.
For example, I recently admitted to never having watched Gladiator.
Mad that. You loved Shameful. It though, didn't you? You bloody loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, bloody loved it. It was bloody great.
So good.
John, never seen any Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, I mean, but again, like...
Neither have I.
Well, you should do, because bloody hell, Spirited Away, which I only just saw like 4 months ago, I fucking loved it. It was so good. It's so weird. Honestly, I don't know what half the things are, but I'm like, no, do you know, I want to see more of that weird stuff.
Yeah, more of that weird shit.
Yeah, the big hippo thing with like in pants, in little pants. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I knew that was your thing.
Freak thing. It was good. Five bloobs I gave that. So,
you did, yeah. It's just unusual for you. Five bloobs. We've also been doing loads of commissioned podcasts, which has been awesome. So our lovely, lovely Patreons have been basically paying us money and going, talk about this.
Yeah.
Which is excellent, because content has been a bit slow lately. COVID and that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't do a podcast on that.
No.
You know.
So the lads in Australia have done Midsummer.
Yep.
Lucy and I recently did Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yeah.
And obviously this is a commissioned podcast for No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, we did, the zombie one?
World War Z. That was great.
We did World War Z. And the other little boys, they did Clockwork Orange as well. So
yes, they did.
You know, varied.
Varied content.
Yeah.
Classics.
Yeah.
But most importantly right now is that there is a new TV show coming out. And it's called Lovecraft Country.
Ooh.
On HBO. Mm. So we have launched a new baby podcast, as we tend to do for all the new things that we cover, called, and this is a mouthful, Lovecraft Country Critical.
Yeah.
So we will be covering the series. We've done two preview podcasts. We're really excited about this adaptation of the Matt Ruff novel, and we'll be covering every episode each week as they come out, as quickly as possible to get that content to you. So
you're our expert on that. You're our hosts, aren't you?
I am. I am the host. I, in preparation, read the entire works of H.P. Lovecraft.
That's madness.
I've been on furlough for 4 months, so, you know, it's been a hard time. But really interesting, and actually the novel itself is fantastic, so we'll be starting that whenever this comes out, from 16th of August.
Yeah.
And we're really excited to do that. So if that is your kind of thing, please go and look up Lovecraft Country Critical on your favourite podcast platform. Subscribe, listen up to our intro preview podcast, and give us a review.
Yeah, review it. Look, if you love it, then that's good. If you hate it and you want to slag us off, then do that as well.
Maybe wait till we've done a couple of episodes, because really it's just a preview. So you can't hate that.
Well,
if you do, though, tell us. Absolutely. Any review is a good review.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
Not necessarily. In a way. But,
but that's enough of that. So keep up with what we're doing on our social media. We are at FanCriticalPod on Twitter, Fan_Critical on Instagram, and just FanCritical on Facebook. You can also send us an email, fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. But for now, let's get back to No Country for Old Men. Right, John.
Emma.
Tell me.
Yep.
Your overview and thoughts about the film No Country for Old Men. When did you see it? What did you think? How did you find the rewatch?
Okay, so this is, I imagine a lot of people listening to this probably love this film, which is fine. You know, the Coen brothers, oh yeah, they're brilliant, aren't they? Yeah, they're not pretentious at all. They are a little bit, aren't they? They're a little bit pretentious. I first saw this when it came out, and I remember thinking this was a nothing film, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But look, it was 2007. So 2007 was, I'm a year out of university. I had a couple of shit jobs, and I was fairly miserable in 2007. So the last thing I needed was a film like this, which is fairly depressing. You know?
Yeah, not a great time to watch a film like this, mate.
So up until the rewatch, which was about a week ago, I'd only ever seen this once. So comes along, I watch it again, and I'm like, eh, do you know what? It's, for me, it's a good film that has, like, amazing moments. I could never turn around and go, you know, now I'm a little bit older. You know, I'm closer to the Tommy Lee Jones age now. I'm not.
I mean, that's pushing it a bit, mate. 35
years old, but I'm just saying, back then I was young and a moron, whereas now I'm old and wise.
You were 22.
And a moron. So,
baby moron.
I watch it now and I'm like, yeah, I can sort of appreciate it. And you look at the world that we live in now, and
yep, drug deals, $1 million.
But look, Javier, you know, I'll sit there watching TV. At the moment, it's just YouTube videos that are
dancing
baby sensory,
freak.
To be honest. Yeah, forever. But I'll just hear these kids just going up and down on mopeds so loud at all hours. And I'm just looking outside. I think that's so dangerous. What's wrong with these kids? And it's such a depressing world that we live in now where everything seems overly dangerous.
Yeah.
And I relate, you know, and that's Tommy Lee Jones's character in this, where it's like, you know, he ends up retiring from life, really. And that is, I mean, that's like someone's killed themselves. He doesn't kill himself, but he certainly kills his career because he's just like, I can't be doing with it anymore. This is not my world. This is not a country for an old man.
Oh,
so
look what you did there.
Yeah. So I enjoyed it. I would, if I had to score it with the famous patented blueberry system.
We should paint that.
We should. And in a way, we have. I'll explain it for any new listeners.
Thanks,
I don't know
John.
If we'd have new listeners, but 0 to 5, no halves. Can never have half a blueberry. I would give this 4 blueberries. I don't think it's, most people will laud this as a masterpiece. It won, you know, the Oscar for Best Picture that year as well, which isn't saying a lot, to be honest. But in a year that There Will Be Blood, I think, was the same year, I'm speechless that this is a better film than that.
Yeah,
no way, man. But yeah, look, it's a good film. I like it. So that's my score, 4 bloobs. But obviously, passing over to you, where this was your first experience, correct?
Yeah, so it turns out I've never seen this film before. So thank you, Beth, again, for getting us to cover a film I've never watched. You're broadening my horizons. Mm. I'm really hit and miss with Coen Brothers. So,
what's your favourite Coen Brothers movie?
Burn After Reading.
Okay.
I love that film.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that film.
I've only seen it in bits and pieces and I was a bit like, eh, I don't know what's going on here. Can't be arsed with this.
Yeah, but I don't know what it is. And I think, you know, we had a conversation about other films that are kind of trying to be Coen Brother-esque. And
I don't know if we had that discussion. I think you just named a different film. I think you just said, oh yeah, The Men That Stare at Goats. I thought this was the same film.
I was having this conversation with Gaz. Don't fucking call me out, you hack.
No, I am calling you out because you thought that was a Coen Brothers movie.
No, I thought this film was The Men Who Stare at Goats.
That's worse in a
way.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to save you.
But
there.
I don't know if I like the Coen Brothers. And I find that they are a little bit try hard, and that there's a sort of, they're trying for a tone that is kind of above, you know, it's higher and mightier than a blockbuster kind of thing. It's different. It's a bit obscure.
Yeah.
I recently watched The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
I haven't seen it.
I quite enjoyed it. Mm. It was weird, but I quite enjoyed it. I think that, like you said, there are parts of this film that are fantastic.
Yeah.
But in general, I felt it dragged a bit. And for the first 45 minutes, I didn't really know what was going on, which sometimes can be a really good thing in a film because it keeps you on edge. I actually was just a bit confused. But I did enjoy it to an extent. And I think that a lot of that comes from the casting and the characters. Like, I didn't really care about the storyline, but I was interested.
There wasn't much of one. It's like...
Well, yeah. But the characters, I was really invested in, like... The characters. I haven't seen Josh Brolin in a lot of stuff. I thought he was excellent. Mm. Absolutely excellent. Mm. So, slightly controversially, it's not a bad score.
All right.
I'm going to give this 3 blueberries.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that.
There are great things about it. It just wasn't... It wasn't something that I think will resonate with me.
Mm. Yeah, again, like that's how I felt when I watched it, you know, way back when.
Yeah.
Just felt like a bit of a nothing film. And how annoyed I was, 13 years ago versus when I watched it a week ago. When it just ends, I felt the same sort of, give me something more than that. Like, what the fuck? I don't want to overanalyze any films, but it's kind of like, What is that at the end? Can I just talk about...
Yeah, go for it.
So this... the Anton character played by Javier Bardem, he wins an Oscar.
When at the end, he gets hit by a car crash.
And it's like, his bone's hanging out of his arm. And he gets the kid's shirt and he walks off.
Well, and that's obviously a callback to when Josh Brolin buys a kid's shirt, isn't it?
No, I get that. I mean, is that the thing that they're saying that...
No, he's just mental.
It's just like, I want more than that. I want a little bit more. He just wanders down a street, a nice-looking street, and it's just the end. It's like, is it, though? I almost feel like he's not even a real character. Like, he's some sort of, like...
Well, he's a pastiche Bond villain, isn't he, really?
Oh, and then he goes on, Javier Bardem, to actually play a Bond villain.
Of course.
So...
Very good.
I don't know, is he like... Because he is a bit invincible. He gets involved in a car crash. But, I mean, the other guy looked dead.
Yeah, 100%.
Whereas he just wanders off down the street. Is he like... Is there something that he's like the Grim Reaper or something? Obviously, there's a lot of themes in this film about fate... And, like, you know, you're with Josh Brolin all this time, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, oh, right, he's dead, he's fucking dead. And it's like, you don't even see it, he's dead.
I don't think it's that deep.
Mm.
I think my favourite character is Anton Sugar.
Mm.
Sugar. Javier Bardem is fantastic. I think he's brilliant, and I think his character is just batshit fucking mental killer. And I love that. I don't think it's any more complex than that in my eyes. Mm. I think he's just mad and he's scary. And he's...
Is he mad, though, do you think?
In a sort of sociopathic way.
Mm.
And he's just cold. And I just think it's brilliant. And that, in contrast with Josh Brolin's character, I think is really interesting because Josh Brolin plays, like, something with a bit more heart. He's a bit more human, whereas Anton Sugar. And I sort of call him Sugar. Yeah. Hey, Sugar.
It's Sugar. We'll call him Sugar. It's fine.
He's like the total polar opposite. And I think that works really well. There is something about Javier Bardem that really lends itself to that type of character.
Mm.
And I think I was more invested in him than I was in anyone else, which is slightly fucked up, really, let's be honest.
You wanted him to win, basically.
No, I just wanted to know what he was going to do next. Because even though it was sort of predictable, you also never really quite knew. Like, one of one of the, and I'm kind of jumping around, in, but you know, this is a conversation. Like, one of my favourite scenes is when he kills Woody Harrelson. Because I didn't think he was going to do it.
Mm.
I thought he was going to let him go, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, for fuck's sake, and just shoots him in the head.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of just like, no, he's dead now. Like, there's no, you're
everyone
not
is
getting
dead.
Out of this. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. So, just staying on Anton.
Mm.
At the end, he's got Josh Brolin's character's Llewellyn, yeah? Moss. Yep.
Llewellyn Moss.
His missus. Is it his wife or his girlfriend?
Wife.
It's his wife. Okay,
Carla.
Fine.
Played by the fantastic Kelly
MacDonald.
Fucking love Kelly MacDonald.
Yeah, Trainspotting and Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, I haven't seen Boardwalk Empire.
Well, there you go. Patreons, pay us some money, we'll do Boardwalk Empire. We won't, because it's a series.
Pay us per episode.
So at the end, she's obviously, you know, she goes into the room and she's got this fucking Grim Reaper sitting there in the corner.
Is grim, isn't it?
Little haircut.
So it made me think of like fucking Ted Bundy or something, just hanging out in a room being a creep.
Yeah, but you love Ted Bundy,
Who doesn't love Ted Bundy?
Most other people. It's just, you know, young women that like writing to people that are incarcerated.
I've never written to anyone in prison yet.
Emailed? Anyway, so so she calls Anton out, doesn't she? She goes, you know, oh, stop getting your shit little coins out. Yeah, and doing the head to tails nonsense. I'm not going to call it. You call it.
It could be a double-headed coin for all I know.
Yeah, don't pretend that it's the coin making the decision. You're making the decision.
Mm.
Calls him out on it.
Great scene.
Yeah.
Is she dead?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Well,
you
I've got in there first, so. Do you think she's dead?
With the way in which people die in this film, probably. Mm. I mean, it doesn't matter, does it? Or does it? Does it matter?
No.
But that's what I mean. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think that you're invested enough in any of the characters in this film to really, for it to matter. And actually, I think part of the charm of it is that it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's just fucking dead.
No, but... yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah.
And sometimes that's just the way it is.
Mm.
You know? And I think I would prefer it if she was dead. Not because I want anyone to die.
Yeah.
But because it's kind of like, I just want Anton to be like, nah, fuck this, and just shoot her with his weird little air gun.
Fucking good weapon, though, isn't it?
So clever. So clever. So yeah. We haven't really talked much about Tommy Lee Jones, who is just, I love him. He's so good.
Mm.
When he appears at the beginning, I was like, dude, you're awesome. This is great.
He is great.
And he's telling Carla, Llewellyn's wife, this story about killing cattle. With a rod
that shoots
in and out of their skull. And it's that moment where you go, dude, that's the weapon he's using. That's why there's no bullets.
Mm, smart.
Really clever. Mm. And then for the rest of the movie, I was like, how does this thing work?
Mm.
This is genius. Mm. Is it a thing? I'm looking at you like you know.
Yeah, I think it is a thing. Yeah.
A real thing.
Fact.
Yeah, great.
And we will be giving that away as part of our next Patreon competition.
Yeah.
Be mad, wouldn't it? Get arrested for sending that to one of our listeners.
Can you fucking imagine? Brilliant.
I have a question to ask. So, all of Anton's little... And I know we're focusing on Anton a lot. And, I mean, I don't want to, really, because there's more to the film than just him. He is the tour de force that wins the Oscar, but whatever.
No.
So, goes to a little shop, sees a little fella in there. Why is he giving him so much shit?
I thought it was amazing.
I mean, that is an amazing scene.
I'm closing now.
Get on to kind of best bits and or favourite bits.
I'm closing now. What time do you close? Now. Well, what time is it?
Yeah.
Now. I don't know. It's like he's giving him some kind of like snake charming paralysis of the brain or something. Like,
well, he gets really fucked off where he's like, oh, where have you come from? So, well, you know, why do you want to know?
Yeah, stop being so fucking nosy.
Yeah. Oh, I fucking, I'm just making conversation.
I just want gas and whatever else it was I wanted to buy.
Yeah. But it's terrifying, isn't it? It's a terrifying scene. And that's obviously like everyone he bumps into later on in the film where he bumps into the guy that's got fucking chickens in his garage. And it's like, honestly, these people are so nice.
Can you get these chickens out of the trailer? What?
Poof, why? What? And then he's Kleenex. He's killed him. Oh, fuck's sake.
It's just rough, isn't it?
Yeah. But I'm like, I've never known any, like, maniac sociopath in any film to bump into such nice people. It would the beginning of Terminator 2, where he goes into the bar, and it's like, he's walking around bollock naked, and everyone's like, ha, ha, ha. And obviously the guy's like, he asks for his clothes, his boots, and his motorcycle. And he's like, you forgot to say please. Everyone in the bar, they're all bikers. Yeah, bikers. They're all wankers, aren't they? They're not, actually.
No, they're not. My dad's a biker.
Well, my father-in-law is.
True that.
But in that, you're like, right, I hope this killing machine kills everyone in this bar, because they've been very nasty to him, very nasty and naughty. Whereas everyone this fucking psycho bumps into is like the nicest people in the world.
Just the sweetest, kindest, middle American most helpful people.
Yeah.
It's horrible, isn't it?
So stop killing people. What's this?
So when I watched this earlier this week, so I was texting you, obviously, John, and for the benefit of the listeners, and you kept asking me how far through I was, because I'd said something about how great the cast is. Like, when Woody Harrelson appears...
Yeah, I was like, oh, there you go. You've not got up to him.
I was absolutely delighted. Mm. He is just so good.
Yeah.
And he plays that kind of swaggery bit of a douche, but also nice guy really, really well.
He's born to wear, like, a cowboy hat. He's a cool guy. I love him. I love him. Like, there are not many actors. I think he's massively underrated, to be honest.
Hugely.
Because he can do everything. You watch him in, like, he's in so many comedies. He's fucking hilarious. You know, Kingpin and what's the zombie thing? What's the zombie one that he's in?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know. Of course you know. Well, anyway, if you're listening and you don't know, you Google it.
Zombieland.
Yeah, fucking hilarious.
I was like, what? Huh?
And then you watch something like True Detective.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's on par with Matthew McConaughey, who is like unbelievable in True Detective.
But even in the Oscars, 2019 Oscars, 3 billboards. Is that 2019?
Yeah,
2018?
Yeah, yeah. 2018. Yeah.
Fucking hell, what year is it? He's so versatile. But he's just such a solid actor, and I was really excited for him to appear. And I thought the thing about him is, I suppose he kind of pulls everything together because he interacts with everyone. And I think that for me makes him such a cool character. But he didn't appear until like halfway through the film.
Well, yeah, like an hour in. Like, yeah, I mean,
terrible fitting suit as well.
Yeah, fair enough. That is his biggest issue in this film is his suit fitting. There's nothing wrong with that. Loose fitting, that's fine.
90s.
Jesus. You want to open that can any louder?
Cheers. Yeah, when he appeared, I was like, this is brilliant, right? Because I hadn't really looked up anything, because when I've not seen a film, and especially if we're going to pod on it, I kind of like to go in a bit blind.
Yep.
Because I think that's the best way to get a fresh perspective.
Mm.
And he appeared, and I was like, oh, mate, it's Woody Harrelson, brilliant.
Hello, everybody.
And then I wasn't really sure where it was going to go. So, of course, you get him dealing with Llewellyn.
Yeah.
Dealing with Llewellyn.
Dealing, yeah.
Dealing with Llewellyn.
Yeah.
But for me, it's him and Anton that is the best. Like, their weird chemistry, and it's almost like that kind of cliche of the FBI agent and his one, you know, the one that got away, the one he can never catch.
Yeah.
Did you think that Anton was going to kill him?
I couldn't actually remember, even on a second watch, what had happened. So I was sitting there and I was like, no, I mean, I assumed he was going to die, because I couldn't remember much of Woody Harrelson in this film. In the second watch, like, I was like, I also was like, oh yeah, sweet, okay. He's in this.
There he is.
So I expected him to die. I couldn't quite remember who lived and who died. In my mind, I sort of remembered Tommy Lee Jones killing Anton. So when that didn't happen, I was like, what the fuck? What's going on here? What sort of fucking pirate film did I watch? But
country for old cows.
No country. Yeah. Okay. It's good. So it was a bit weird when it ended as it did.
That's hilarious. Mm. He definitely didn't do that. He retired and didn't know what to do with himself, poor fuck.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that will happen to the best of us.
I don't know if I could retire. I mean, I wouldn't know.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to be like, look, I can't do this anymore. All right, it's a tough world, this
retiring
sales
at 36.
Yeah, 35, all right?
Not quite long.
Yeah. Good. That's good. All right, well, what's your favourite bit of the film?
That's really hard, isn't it?
I mean, it is. You've given it free bloob, so there can't be much that you liked.
Well, actually,
let me ask a different question.
Oh, my God. Oh,
sorry, we'll get on to best bits in a sec.
I mean, you're hosting the podcast
what,
now.
That's just the question. You know, it's just a conversation. This isn't a podcast. Just two people, you know, just, you know, shooting the shit. That's the phrase, isn't it?
Yeah. shooting the breeze.
No. Shooting the shit. So anyway, what is it about this film that turns it from a 5 or 4 to a free bloob, considering it won Oscar for Best Picture?
My engagement with it. Genuinely, like, if I'm not
that's
engaged...
That's on you, though, isn't it?
Well, it is, but also that's why I get to give it a blueberry score, because it's what I think. And the Oscars aren't always right, let's be honest.
I know, but if you were like watching like Schindler's List and you're like, I'm not engaged
blues.
With this, and gave it one bloob, but the Mr. Bean movie, you're like, oh, it's fucking hilarious. I mean, such a good mood. Free bloobs. You're like...
There's nothing wrong with Mr. Bean.
No,
leave him alone. No,
but comparatively.
I can explain it. So I think, like... What it is that I think... Finish a sentence, Emma. It's not engaging enough continually. So there are parts in it where you're like, 20 minutes have gone past and nothing's happened, and I'm a bit like,
Yeah, no, I think that... So you get that, yeah.
I think if it was shorter... Again, 90 minutes, guys.
What's your obsession with 90 minutes?
I don't know. It just annoys me when films too long. This isn't too long at all. Mm. But I think that there's a lot of kind of dead space in it. And I know, and I get that that is meant to be part of the tone for the style of the film. That just doesn't work for me. That just isn't.
That is Coen Brothers, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's just... I think that's why I don't engage with them very well, you know, personally. because that's just not my thing. And why don't you like it?
Yeah.
It's just not my thing. And I it's not that I need something to be fast-paced and action-packed. Mm. It's more that I need to be intellectually stimulated, and I didn't feel like I was. I kind of thought everyone was going to die. I was kind of interested in Anton.
You give Armageddon 5 blues,
I fucking love that film. It's excellent. It's action-packed. It's emotional. It's in space.
So engaging.
Soundtrack, Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
Bruce Willis.
Ben Affleck.
How can he not give it 5 bloops?
Aerosmith's daughter.
Okay, so I'm going to flip this back on you. What is your favourite scene? What's the best bit of this film for you?
I would say the hotel. I think the... the ensuing shootout. The drama, you know, you've got him sitting at the door. I mean, it also frustrates me as well, because it's like, just throw the fucking beeper out the window or something. It's a tracker. Why? Just smash it to bits. I'm so confused. Or flush it down the toilet. Because that would be so confusing if you were trying to track that. But oh, what's going on here? He's moving.
He's in the sewers.
Yeah. He's with that lot. With a rat and the shells. I would say that is my favourite scene. Glad when he went down to the hotel lobby, the cat was still all right, but for some reason his bowl had been knocked over. Okay.
How have you remembered that?
Yeah. Which I've watched it recently, man. Canoe. I was engaged with that bit. So I would say that's my favourite bit, because the tension was high.
Mm.
You know, Anton's obviously on the other side of the door. He's sitting there on Josh Brolin's character, Moss. He's on the bed. He's looking at the door. The lights go out. You're like, oh, shit, what's going on here? And then when the door lock hits him in the chest, you're like, oh, fucking hell. Or like in the abdomen. I was like, Jesus, that is brutal. And then obviously he legs it out the window. And then you've got the chase in the car. Guy gets shot. It's fucking amazing. I loved it. And that was like, yeah, I'm liking this. That was to me, was very... This is what I'm talking about when I say that Anton doesn't feel like a real character, because a lot of that is there's just people dying on screen, there's shots coming in, like, and he doesn't, at no point does he appear until the very end where he wanders into the street and Llewellyn tries to take a shot at him.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Grim Reaper-esque, isn't it?
And then he walks around the corner and he's gone. And it's like, fucking hell, what is this guy? Who is this guy, man?
His death personified.
Yeah, so it was... you could almost make a case that if they hadn't had the scene of Anton going into the chemist to get the stuff to Love sort that. His leg out, he fucking blows the car up.
That was genius. Yeah. I was like, what is he doing? Is he going to like piss in the gas hole? Or like, what's happening? I didn't understand. Or was he going to like clean his leg with the petrol or something? Which I don't think you could do. I was really confused. And then when he set it on fire, I was like, oh, distraction.
Why'd he piss in the car?
I don't know. I was really confused.
Oh, he's going to piss in the car. That's what he's going to do. That's his plan. King Air, what an insult.
But it was that like weird furtive look.
Oh, is that Llewellyn's car? He's like, pissing in the car as an insult.
Rustling utter around nonsense. By the gas cap.
Yeah.
It just looked weird. And I was like, I didn't really know what was going on. Clearly, I'm not an arsonist.
But that scene to me is very like... It doesn't really belong to the rest of the film. It's thrown in there to be like almost... It's like they've shown the audience that he is just a normal person. Obviously, he's a fucking sociopath.
It's almost like they've revealed that he really is mortal.
Yeah, exactly.
And that kind of takes away the sheen of invincible villain.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't normally happen to the end of the film without when they die.
And then obviously you get the thing at the end. But without that, you're like, what is this guy? Is he like...
Is he Terminator?
Yeah. Is he a real thing? Like, what's going on here?
Mm.
Yeah.
So That's a good choice.
So that was my favourite part of the film. How about you?
I mean, I agree.
Where he's pissing in the car.
Yeah, when he pisses in the car and then sets his wee on fire. That's brilliant.
On fire, did you say?
Wee.
Fucking hell.
I agree. I think those scenes are fantastic. I think the hotel shootout was brilliant. I really liked the suitcase in the vent.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, again,
I think, you know, that's very like 40s noir, old motel kind of thing. And like when he's trying to get it back from the other room, when he's choosing that room because it's behind it to get, you know, with the like tent poles and all of that stuff. I just thought it was really clever. And I was really engaged. And actually, I gave a shit if he managed to pull it through.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really, really clever. And also, I just sitting there going, fucking just hook it on. We kept missing it, and I was like, come on.
Yeah, what sort of, I mean, fucking hell, you want to create a bit of drama?
What fucking idiot are you?
That's it, first time. Oh, he's absolutely fine. What a terrible scene that was.
But I like that kind of stuff, you know, it is of the era of the kind of shit that I really enjoy. Mm. And so that for me was really good. I also really liked that final scene that we had with Tommy Lee Jones. When he sat down in the kitchen with his wife. I thought that was, well, it's sort of penultimate scene, isn't it? Because then he goes and sees the old sheriff. But
that's after that, isn't it? That's after. He goes to see his uncle.
Oh, yeah, no, you are right. So yeah. I was right the first time. Yeah. Good. I really like that because it was the first bit of it, but first bit of the film, really, where you got any kind of just normal humanity that wasn't, you know, we're running away from crazy Anton.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's certainly someone that is turning around and just being honest about the situation.
Do you, weird question, when you watch a film, do you like listen out for the title? So like quite often when you read a book, for example,
yeah, like when you like,
wait for it to be said and you go, ah, there it is, you know.
No, you can't read,
so it's different.
Yeah, that is true.
But so like you're reading a book called, so I recently read a book called The Memory Police. Shortlisted for the International Booker Prize 2020.
All right. Let's not shout them out. All right. We're only shouting out beer companies, all right? No books.
Like Estrella Damm. And about three chapters in, they mention the Memory Police. And I was like, oh, brilliant. Now I know what, like, how it connects. I was just like...
Why does that matter?
I don't know. Listeners, I don't think I'm the only person who does this. So please... Tell me that you do it too, so I don't feel like an idiot.
But why are you sitting there waiting for it?
Well, not, but, you know, like,
I know, and obviously, in Lord of the Rings, where he's like, right, you lot will be known as the Fellowship of the Ring. And it's like, why has he said that? Don't say that.
But I was just kind of waiting for
Let's
someone...
go over to those two towers. Oh.
Oh, it is the Return of the King.
Oh, it's the Return of the King. What, Aragorn? Yes. Oh, yeah.
Spoiler warning for the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But I was kind of, there was a part of me that was kind of waiting in the film for someone to say, oh, this is no country for old men.
Yeah.
And no one fucking said it.
Hey, look, Ghostbusters 2 are back.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work.
10 blueberries. I can't believe you don't do that. That's so weird.
What, look out for the film title?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not something like Joker or Batman.
Hey, guys, we're going to do an Inception. It's like, I don't care.
No, but they do. This is Inception. Like, fucking hell, this is hard work.
Yeah. Hey, look, everybody, I'm the Englishman that went up a hill and came down a mountain. No. That's a film, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, with Hugh Grant. Yeah, so
Beth,
there you go.
Can you commission us to do that? It sounds
Absolutely
great.
Not. No way.
No, and I think, you know, there. I gave this film 3 blueberries, but there are some really good parts in it. Mm. And I was, I didn't not enjoy it. It just wasn't.
Yeah, look, better. Three blueberries is an acceptable score.
I think so. Yeah. Oh, it's above average.
It's average. If you gave it 2 out of 5, you wouldn't go, oh, it's an average film.
No, true. Fair point. At least it wasn't
you
zero.
You said it's an average film. Fact.
Anything else that you'd like to talk about No Country for Old Men, John?
No.
Good. Well, it feels like we've effectively covered this film then. Well done us. Thank you, Beth, for commissioning this podcast. We've had a great laugh talking about this.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
Listeners, please do tell me. Ideally on Instagram, because that's what I normally try to take care of.
Or Twitter.
@fan_critical. Or you can tell John the opposite on
@fancriticalpod.
Yeah. Whether when you read a book or watch a film, you look out for the title. Because I generally think that's the thing. and also tell us what you think of No Country.
I just sit there and go, do you know what? I'm just going to watch the film. And if it turns up, I might go, oh, they've just mentioned the film title. But I wouldn't go, right, when is it going
to
happen?
Well, I don't care what you think. I'm waiting for the listeners to tell us. if you have enjoyed this podcast, then give us a review. We love them. We'll read them out sometimes if they're awful or really funny or really nice. Don't forget to subscribe to Lovecraft Country Critical and watch the show with us and listen to us dissect everything, including our Cthulhu Corner.
Yes.
For anyone who's ever read any Lovecraft, that will probably make sense to you.
Cthulhu.
But for now, thank you very much, John, for joining me.
Thanks, Emma.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you all soon. Bye.
See ya.